All right, folks, let's do this. I'm going to call this meeting of the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission to order for February 13, 2019. We all please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance after you turn your phones to stun.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Lambert, roll call, please.
Councilor
here.
Congress,
here.
Anthony Bennett.
Present.
Derek Dinkins. Absent. Dave Castellanos.
Here.
Ron Ware.
Here.
LaVon Whitaker.
Present.
William Baker.
Present. All right, let's roll. Next up is the election of officers for 2019. A call for nominations for office, please.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to selection for the officers for the period of for the year 2019.
Second.
Thank you. First, for the office of the chairman for the Little Calumet River Basin, I'd like to offer the name of LaVon Whitaker for chair for 2019.
There's a motion for LaVon Whitaker for the chair. Is there a second? You didn't hear LaVon Whitaker that there was a put him on stun?
His mom.
You can take that all the time.
Every time.
All right, so I'm sorry. So there's a motion and a second. There's no second.
Second.
I need a second.
Second.
You second? Okay. So LaVon Whitaker for chair.
Hello?
Is there any other nominations for chair?
I make a motion. William Baker for chair.
Second.
Baker. So, is there any other nominations for chair? So what's the deal now, Dave?
You can take a vote, and the recipient of the most votes is the chair.
You have to make sure both people are out of the room. One.
Right.
So do I have to ask him that? Hey, LaVon, do you want that?
No.
Oh.
You make the motion and you ask him. Yeah, you do ask him if he wants to be chairman. If he said yes.
He wants to decline.
And then you ask yourself if you want to be chairman. Good luck with that.
I don't know if I have to keep doing stuff like this. I'm not so sure anymore.
It's such a small agenda.
And so, I'm sorry, what's the deal? I have to ask him another motion?
No.
The motion's on the floor.
If he accepts the nomination, or accepts the...
All right, I did ask him that.
Okay.
And I hadn't given an answer, but
right.
No, I know I do not accept the nomination.
I nominate one candidate to vote for.
And I'll accept it. So now we have to call for a vote.
Yes.
Roll call, Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Schlinski.
Yes.
Tom Gostecki.
Yes, Bill Baker, chair.
Anthony
Rudnick. Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
No.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. All right. Next up, Vice.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion that we accept Tom Walensky as for Vice President for the 2019 for the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission.
Okay, I think that was Tom Walensky as Vice Chairman.
Right.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any other nominations for vice chair?
You would ask Tom if you accept.
Well, do I have to ask for first if there's other nominations? Right? No? Tom, do you want it?
Yes, sir.
So Tom says yes. Do I have to vote again?
Yes. Well, not on further nominations, but vote to confirm Tom as a vice chair.
Okay. And is there any other nominations for vice? No? Mrs. Lambert?
Tom Schlinski.
Yes.
Tom Gostecki.
Yes.
Angela
Rudnick. Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William
Baker. Yes. All right, next up, Treasurer.
I make a motion, Mr. Chair, that we accept, that I make a motion that we elect Tom Gostecki as the Treasurer for the year 2019.
Second.
Second. You're nominating. You're nominating, not electing.
Yeah, correct.
And there's a second. Any other nominations? Commissioner Gazdecki, are you interested in being the treasurer again?
I would accept that position, yes, sir.
Mrs. Lambert.
Tom
Gazdecki. Yes, Tom Gazdecki is chairman for 2019. Or treasurer 2019.
Yeah, what a group.
Yes.
Anthony
Brunick.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
LeVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. All right, nomination next is for secretary.
Mr. Chair, I make a, I'm making a motion that we...
Nomination.
Make a nomination, sorry.
It's like WLTH.
That's right. I make a motion that we nominate LeVon Whitaker for the Office of Secretary for the Little Calumet River Basin Commission for the year 2019.
Second.
Motion and a second.
Yes, I accept.
Thank you, Mr. Whitaker. Any other nominations for secretary? Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Schlinski.
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki.
Yes.
Anthony Brunick.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Ron Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. All right, got a lineup. Baker chairman, Wyschlinski vice, Gazdecki treasurer, LeVon Whitaker secretary. The slate moves again into 2019. So next up is the approval of minutes from January 9th. Modifications, changes, motions, what say you?
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion we approve the financials for...
This is the minutes.
Oh, excuse me, the minutes. I'm not supposed to make that motion.
Well,
Mr. Chairman,
I make the motion. Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we approve the minutes for the January 9th, 2019 meeting.
Second.
You know what? I'm not even going to do this. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Chairman's report. Usually gets a little smoother than this, but thank you for coming. This is, you know, working on... my tenure on the 11th year, one of the major focuses is the green starting to turn yellow pictures of what happens when a $275 million man-made project isn't taken care of. The important part of what we do here is to make sure something like what's depicted in those pictures that are here every month doesn't happen again. Please keep in mind, though, we're dealing with trying to manage Mother Nature. And when you get 10 gallons of water in a 5-gallon bucket, there's going to be some issues. We're far better prepared than we were prior to 2008. We do quite a bit of tabletop exercises as well as field exercises. The communication is significantly improved from what it was then. It's important that we have this community event to make sure something as basic as the infrastructure of what we have here living on a swamp doesn't ever happen again. Please keep that in mind as we start spending money and trying to make sure something like that is just a part of history, not something that we have to deal with tomorrow. Next up is the finance report, which is claims for February 2019. We need a motion on the claims.
Now my turn, Mr. Chairman. I'd make a motion. We approve the claims for February 2019 in the amount of $685,459.29.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Mr. Repay?
I just heard it click the other way.
All right, let's, since things are going so smoothly today's meeting, might as well start now. Go through the claims really quick, or at least to the ones that are the larger ones. IHC, by far the largest this month, is $243,696. They continue to do work out there as far as the bridge project, railroad bridge project, although the polar vortex, they did not do any work during that period of time because of the weather conditions, but they have been out there this past week. Doing work, and there's going to be a point where they're going to change over to the shoe fly, which is the new version of the track, before they have to shift it back. So we're going to probably try to get out there and take a look at that. I've been out there 2 weeks ago,
and the project's moving along. There was a small change order with the requirement of different types of stone by the railroad to the tune of $14,569 and I believe it was 75 cents. So that's one minor issue that they've come up with, and I think there may be one more, but I've asked, we're now getting out of the period where those change orders are more or less likely because of what they have to do. It's not dependent on the soil conditions and things that they have to drive into. Ellis Construction for $123,995.53 for Harrison Street. That project, as everyone knows, was delayed because of a utility issue and a permitting. They switched the way that they wanted to put the utility across that bridge, which delayed the project. They started back up in late December. They've been doing some work out there, and then they're going to begin again in earnest on March 1st, weather permitting, if we ever see spring. And we will then progress through there and likely finish sometime in the summer, which will be a little bit later than what we anticipated. But it will be a benefit to the project long term. Grimmer Construction for the pay estimate number 2, $49,411. If you've been out there, it's mainly complete. There was a small change order because of, and I think I explained it in previous meetings, the grade of what that road looked like. The asphalt was lower than the side dirt and trees, so we had them regrade the trees or regrade the dirt in the runoff so that it would go into the ditch and not sit on top of the asphalt, which ended up destroying the asphalt a lot quicker and making it a big ice rink. So it will be, it's a better road for it. It's a better project, and we achieved what we needed to, and that is eliminate a closure on the north side of Clark Street. Grimmer Construction for $118,883, which was the repair of the water main that occurred when there was work out on Deep River. That will be submitted or is being submitted by the contractor to their insurance company along with the utility supply company for $10,770 and Paul's Paving. And we're working with our attorney to make sure that that is properly, has proper paperwork behind it. Beyond that, you have Patrick Engineering for the Lake Station levee. They have begun. I know they've went out there and did some staking for $33,845 for the design of the levee from basically 94 back to Liverpool. Beyond that, I'm open to any questions.
All right, any questions for Mr. Repay on the bills? I have one. I noticed, Dan, that the town of Shearville's on there for that Sunset Boulevard project, which correct. Was an application that they put in.
Correct.
What's the status of that scenario?
Well, on Project Tracker, it was awarded on 4/12 of 17. We have a budget of $34,800, and we've only paid $18,289. So they're just, I guess, Nice is the engineering company, so they're designing that project as they go. So they have about $14,000 or so, $16,000 to still spend on that project to get the final design.
That's just for the design?
Correct.
Because that's been out there for a while now, right?
Yeah, it's been, it will be almost 2 years. It's, what, 20 months, 22 months.
Okay, that was the only one I saw. Any other questions for Mr. Repay on the bills? We'll go into the project stuff and his executive director report later. Be there or not, Mrs. Lambert.
Thomas Lemke.
Yes.
Tom Garcetti.
Yes.
Anthony Gormitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Levon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Paying the bills. All right, Dan, you're up.
We've already gone through the bridge and the railroad bridge in Hobart, how that's going. A little bit delayed because of they had some difficulty driving the piers, and then also with the cold weather they couldn't get the concrete to be the proper temperature, so they decided to basically take that week off. But other than that, things are looking good, and for the most part a little bit delayed, but still will be done, from what I'm told at this point, by the end of May. Harrison Street, as I said, you know, they're going to pick up again March 1st, hopefully with the weather. The Chase Street pedestrian bridge, I didn't touch on this in the session there, but as I look at it now, NDOT decided to change the deck of Chase Street over 94. So if you drive on 94 and you see that they pulled the deck off the top of it. So we're at a situation where we can have Gary up work down our levee with some heavy equipment and potentially disrupt some of that, or wait till they're done with the deck, which is going to be, they say, May or June. I can tell you that Gary Sanitary wasn't even aware that NDOT was doing this deck project because, as many of you know, they have a pump station on the other side, and right now Gary Sanitary is using actually our levee to access their pump station. So communication failed there, but I'm not sure why they would redo a deck that goes to a road that's a dead end, but don't make those decisions. Like, evidently it was...
It's south of the Borman, it's not even open.
Right.
But we're spending...
Well, I can tell you, we came across the issue when we were checking out the project, and we drove up, and Superior had all their trucks, and they blocked us from going over the bridge, and we sort of asked why, and then, they explained. So if you drive 94, you now see what they're doing.
It's a scary look with that crane on there.
Yeah, and they won't let anyone over the bridge, certainly, and they won't. So we're working with Gary to see where and how they can do it. We don't really want to put heavy equipment on that part of the levee because it's designed for recreational vehicles, not heavy traffic, and we're afraid that we'll ruin the trail that we've already put in there. And that's...
Is it paved for where GSD needs to get to their pump station?
Yes. GSD will come in from Clark Street, and they drive the levee, and they'll get behind the construction, get to their station. And they don't generally need large equipment. They just service vehicles that get there to check the pumps to make sure it's working. So that's when I notified Dan Vicari, because I know they weren't told of it, because they were parked at the same intersection that I was, trying to figure out how to get over there. So
Is the pedestrian bridge built? As far as the superstructure,
it's going to be put in place, a prefabricated. So it has to go there, and it's
right.
Going to be difficult to take that along the
river. You don't want to do that.
So yes, it will be a delay in the project, and that's unfortunate. But I don't want to throw anybody, but it wasn't much communicated to either us or Gary Sanitary District as to what their plan was, and we quite honestly didn't anticipate it because it didn't go anywhere. That road goes nowhere at this point except for our pedestrian bridge. So, and the Gary Sanitary District. Yeah, so that's all. We got to the contractor. We weren't notified. No one had any information. So Clark Road, as I said before, is going, is complete. The only thing, the last thing that we have to make sure of is that the cover works. The grass is growing and it functions the way it's supposed to, and is graded out properly. And we're trying to avoid any issues over there, especially with all the now vehicles that are we're sort of using now for a road to get back there through GSD. And so they've been pretty good about it. We've given them the key. They have the key anyway, so they've been able to access that area. As we mentioned a little bit in the pre-session, Will County, we understand, is in negotiations to acquire Longwood Golf Course. They've contacted us about any interest that we may have, so there's a future meeting going on, I believe, through Dyer, us, and Will County, so we'll keep you posted on that. We have some minor maintenance issues from animals because of all this frosting, rain, and thawing. But that's something that we can address in the spring. Nothing critical. We didn't have any really big issues with this, the thaw that we had that impacted a lot of other communities, especially south of us. So we're still in good shape. We do believe that we had a lightning strike at the Marshalltown pump station that knocked it offline when we had those thunderstorms in the end of January? So we're back up and running on it. It was grounded correctly, they said. At least Glenn told us it was, but for whatever reason, it got knocked off. And the best we could figure is it was from the lightning strike. So other than that, we're working on doing the inspections, the annual inspections for Gary South and Gary South and Gary North, which is typical for this time of year. Then we have the inspection process for Hammond, Highland, Munster, all set up for the pump stations. It's mid-April. For the rest of the levy, it's beginning of May, the first week in May. So, and then typically they wait a month because of staffing issues, and then we'll do Gary and Griffith in June. So that's for the 2019 inspections.
I have a question, Dan.
Sure.
I mean, the pump stations, Great Lakes Electrical, so this Marshall Town. So what assessment's been done as far as to the equipment by them since they think it's a lightning strike? And then for all the other pump stations that they do the maintenance on, was there any issues from the polar vortex? And how would, do we do anything different for those pump stations when we have 400 below zero weather?
Yeah. We checked to make sure they're all grounded. They're all supposed to be grounded, so they rechecked all to make sure the grounds all were done and properly put together. We had a small issue at Grant West where our SCADA system, the battery had malfunctioned. It was smoking when we were out there. They came out to look at it, and they're doing an assessment of it right now. It's something that they have to look at. So it doesn't mean that the system isn't running. It just means that we can't look at it running from whatever, from our computers. It did show up as an alarm, and that's when they came out. That's when they went out there and they saw that. We don't know if it's a result of the extreme cold, but for whatever reason, it did that. All other pump stations are working the way they should and are functioning. We are getting NIPSCO to put the power back on at Ironwood. The power went out there. We don't know if it's related to the Marshalltown one, but the power's out. And since it's such a remote place and we are the only customer that pole serves, there wasn't a great a need for people calling and saying, hey, my power's out. So when we did the inspections, we saw that. We don't have SCADA on Ironwood because Ironwood has only run 7 hours in the past 10 years. So we are now getting NIPSCO. We put it in the pole number, and NIPSCO is going to restore that power to that pole, and then we are probably going to look at one of the pumps that is showing up as overheating. So we don't know if it's due to the electric or just because the pump could be old or has been run dry for a couple times. So, and that's the pump station in a nutshell.
Any other questions for Mr. Repay? What's going on in the field? Did you talk about this?
With the mitigation projects, I mean the Hobart one.
No core today, so you're it, kid.
Yeah, thanks. I'll put my best core hat on. The Hobart one is slow, just because there's nothing really to plant out there right now because of the cold. The one they call the Chase Street and the Black Oak one, which is off of 35th and Chase, they did believe it or not, they were cutting down the invasive trees and girdling them during the polar vortex, and then ultimately burning those trees on site. So if you've been down at 35th and Chase, especially by the natural spring, you will notice that the tree line is no longer there as it used to be. So it's a lot clearer view from your Chase Street view going to the west. So that's what they have been working on, nothing really planting. They've just been cutting the trees and girdling them because of the proximity. They're doing it now because of the proximity to the Eagle's Nest, and they didn't want to disrupt that while they're, you know, doing what Eagles do in the spring.
10-4. Yes, sir.
Other than the lightning strike and other associated issues with electrical, what's your thoughts on our prospects for inspections this spring, May, June? Any concerns?
No. We had... The issue that we had in the last inspection was our issue dealing with IUN and that nature preserve that they have, and myself and Attorney Wicklund have been working on an agreement with IUN because they grow it, they take care of it, it's their natural area. The problem is we don't own the land, however, we have an easement on the land to make sure that it's maintained to the proper level. The ownership of the land is Gary Parks, believe it or not. But our easement supersedes it, and we've been trying to be good neighbors, and like we would like to see that it's educational for the folks at IUN. But it came down to a point where the Corps said we need to have an agreement in hand, otherwise they're going to fail that part of the system. Not sure if you're aware, but the gate at Burr Street was recycled. Again, that runs underneath the railroad tracks. We have a spare, but we're not going to put it out there until the inspection, then we're going to take it back. It's $4,000 a pop every time. But other than that, there's nothing that right now we have that's critical. I believe this year, and I think it is this year, that we have to go take care of those 4 9-foot culverts underneath the 94 expressway. So, I mean, those won't be a problem. It's just something that we have to do.
Right.
And so, as far as any issues, we haven't had any issues with pump stations, and generally in the past, our pump stations have been the biggest issue. We always will have some encroachment because of the, what's your favorite? Fragmite, thank you.
You've got a lot of favorites.
Yeah, well, Fragmites, I know your favorite. So the Fragmites that grow in the ditch is considered an invasive species that is coming closer than the 15 feet that they allow for within the toe of the levee. However, there's some design flaw possibility there that we've explained to them that causes that to occur. So we're working with the Corps doing that. But structurally, there's nothing that we see that is out there that is critical. And if Natalie was here, she would tell you that I think they're getting closer to awarding that contract for the area, the 600 feet in Munster that leaked through the wall. That still has to go to division. I haven't heard anything different. But that's something that they've got to fix. But that's not going to count against us. It's just something that, you know, usually we get it because of the people that live along there have exceeded the 15 feet or gotten closer than the 15 feet thing. And that's including, you know, a tree may have fallen and they'll find it, and that's fine. But we have to just, our biggest concern is structural or the burrows and that stuff, and we try to fill those as we get them. But some areas are just more conducive to having that happen.
I know it's been a minute since I made a meeting, but I seem to remember last year.
You say a minute?
In dog years. vegetation? Mm-hmm. Am I remembering correctly? It seemed like we had, like, everywhere we had an issue or a potential issue or something with vegetation.
That's the Phragmites. So, I mean, the closest to here, Phragmite-wise, is Wicker Park. So if you walk on Wicker Park from Hart's Ditch and you're walking north, and then you say you go towards Highland, which is what, east, there's Phragmites that grow in the ditch. So they write us up for that being within the 15-foot area. We also get hit with Marshalltown's another one, where you can only cut so far down the way the design is before you get into, you know, wet, marshy. I mean, and then the lawnmowers get stuck. And then as soon as you start getting into that, then they'll get you for rutting because the lawnmower cut it with, you know, too heavy of equipment. So the key is that we've worked over the years that we've done this with the Corps and said, look, the key is that you don't want anything structural to do this. It's not like a Phragmite is going to cause that big of an issue. But we do have to keep mind of what it looks like, and so there's no gaps or sloping or, you know, depressions.
And then just for the audience, the Phragmites, think of if you're going east from Burr to 65 on the Borman and you see all of the plants and the ditches on either side of the expressway that looks like cattails. It's not cattails. That's those really tall things that block everything. Those are Phragmites. So just so you know. All right, any other questions for Dan?
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
One, with the Marshalltown situation with the lightning striking, mm-hmm. I was wondering whether or not we had surge or lightning arrestors out there.
Yeah, they're all grounded. To the, you know, the stations are all grounded. They don't know. I got it from Oliver, who was out there. I didn't see it. He had called it. The way our SCADA system works is he gets the alert first. If it comes to me, that means it's skipped over three other people to get to me. So that's in his report that said that he felt that it was a lightning strike, and those at NIPSCO, it would coincide with some power outage in that area. And it's off of a pole or off a transformer that services more than just our pump station. And that's what he got from the folks out in NIPSCO. He said he couldn't see anything visual, but that was the only thing that would cause it to go out.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm aware it could be grounded, but whether or not the arrestor is effective is another question, and that's probably depending on where it's at upstream.
Yeah, I think he said two legs of the transformer were popped. And
okay.
I'm not an electrician, so I'm not going to even try, but that was his analysis of the situation. Okay. It didn't cost us anything. It was simply, it was offline, no power, and then that was the pump. He checked all the pumps. The pumps are all working.
Okay. The other thing was, in going back to the notes on the utility issue with Harrison Street, and not necessarily limited to Harrison Street, but
sure.
I hope that as a commission, whether it be the utilities relocation that's delaying this project, whether it was issues we may have had at, whether it be Georgia, whether it be Kennedy, whether it be anywhere, I just hope that we're logging all of these things as checklist items, so that when we go to do something in the future, of course, we're sort of checking in with, all right, NIPSCO, do you have a utility relocation in the event that we... I just hope that it's not something we're keeping up here, and maybe we get in the minutes and we sort of, you know, shove the minutes off to the side, but hopefully we're making a log that way there's a checklist every time we do a project type. We sort of have all of these things that have arose in our process of time that have delayed us or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, just to answer that, we, as a part of the process, we do ask for utilities to show us what they want to do, and, you know, you have utilities out there. They submitted the relocation as to be above the bridge as it was instructed, and so they signed off on it. We sent it in because we had to get it permitted, and then we were told they changed their minds. That was a junior engineer. This is the way we really want it done, and that's how it had to happen. I mean, I'm oversimplifying how it happened, but we coordinate with all utilities for all projects, almost all projects. And that way it saves us from trouble and from the airplane flying over and you know, getting us in trouble for digging where we're not supposed to.
Yep. Okay. All right. That's all, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions for Mr. Repay? Moving right along, other issues. Mr. Castellanos, got anything to say?
Oh, yes. I do want to say a couple of things. So first of all, I want to offer my condolences to the Repay family for the loss of a loved one. I just want to make sure to let you know that we do care for you, Dan, and very sorry to hear about that, about your loss. So the other thing I want to ask about is that I'm making a few requests. One is that I'd like to be given a notice of when the advisory boards have their meetings. I'd like to attend some of those, get an idea of what's going on and what's on their mind as far as what we're doing and how we're servicing the community.
Don't those usually go out, Dan?
Yeah, they do. We haven't had an advisory board probably in 6 months, but okay. we'll make sure that everyone gets them.
Good. Check your email.
Good. And the other thing I want to compliment, I'd like to compliment our attorney, David Wicklund, for doing a really good job on bringing forth the issues regarding minority participation on contracts for this year that's coming up. I'd like to compliment on that. Keep up the good work. Thank you. The other thing I'd like to say is that not only that we should look for minority participation on construction contracts, but I'm also looking for that we also make sure that we have professional services included, for any of the work that we do as minority companies. Also, I'd like to say that I'm going to be participating in an event on February the 2nd, no, the 20th, and also the 23rd. Hopefully presenting the program at the Gary Currier Center for minority contractors to be prepared and to be able to participate in contracts that's going to be coming forward in the year 2019. And that's it. And the other thing I want to say too is that I wish everybody get a chance to listen to our show.
that the Little Calumet River Basin has on the WLTH radio. It's on the second Monday of every month. I guarantee you to please listen on March the 10th. We're going to have a very exciting program. Looking for everybody to participate. Thank you.
What time?
Radio station. Oh, I'm sorry. WLTH, channel 13, 70 AM station at 9 o'clock, 9 to 10. This last session that we had with Dan, we had a lot of callers calling in, and they really appreciated the work and progress that we did for the last year. Am I right, Dan?
I don't know if Mr. Nowinski was it with
Nowacki.
I don't think he appreciated my conversation, but that's all right. Everyone else did.
Right. Exactly. Thank you.
Mr. Broadnax.
That'll be better.
Good to be here. Nothing to add.
Mr. Gazdecki.
Nothing. Thank you.
Mr. Wyszlinski.
I'm good.
Mr. Whitaker.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I wanted to comment on last month we made a motion on extending or renewing Maya Energy's licensing agreement for an additional 6 months, and there was some opposition, and it was good for us to see some opposition in terms of support from the audience, and I would hope that we're not continuing to go forward with the pursuit of Maya Energy at the location that they proposed. It's not something that as a community that we favor in the city of Gary, and as a commissioner, I wanted to continue to reiterate that point. Thank you.
Mr. Ware.
All good.
Mr. Wicklund.
Nothing to add.
All right, my favorite part next up is comments from the floor. If you'd like to help us with this project, please come up to the podium, state your name and address. Let's go. Yes, sir. You're not going to sing, John, are you?
Great evening. John Beckman, 243 Detroit Street. Two items. Over 10 years ago, the town of Dyer, the Dyer Stormwater Management, had Burke Engineering take a close look and do a formal study on turning Longwood Golf Course into a reservoir to control the flooding on Plum Creek into Hart's Ditch. So that's all out there. Secondly, on that point, it is legal for an Indiana town and perhaps a basin commission to own out-of-state land as long as it's adjacent to the town. So at least Dyer can buy that golf course, and it is in receivership, so it's available at a discount price. And while it wasn't making money because they had to pay taxes, when it's government owned, there's no taxes. You might even be able to make money off of that, and you are charged for recreation, so you could own it for 100 years before you turn it into a reservoir. The other item I wanted to mention about Frank Mighty's, that first or second week in May, the new chutes are like this. It's a great time to burn it. The Gary Fire Department hates to go out there at 2 in the morning when it's 49 miles an hour and they don't know what they're walking through to put out a fire. They would love to burn it when there's a soft north wind, middle of the day, burning the Phragmites so they could learn what's going on out there. And I know NDOT would be interested in that. You probably have to help compensate the Gary Fire Department to do it, but they would love to do that. And you could do a test case somewhere along the I-94 in Gary and see how well that does, because the alternative to dump thousands of gallons of Roundup in to try to kill it is, a lot of people are using that water for well water, so it's, I don't think, a very good idea. It's worth trying to burn it out. It's worth starting a program to do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Beckman, I grew up north of I-80 in Gary, so it's ideas like that gave me respiratory issues, soft north wind, burning Phragmites.
That's how I grew up, man. Went right towards me.
So you don't like that idea at all?
I don't like the smell. Everything has consequences, that's all I'm saying.
Well, then your point's well taken. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Good evening. Eric Sprenna, 3118 Worth Road in Highland. I'm just curious to find out what the commission's policy is on snow removal from the levee trail. In the latter part of January, I ride my bike year-round when it's 25 degrees and above. In Highland, latter half of January, the snow is not cleared at all. There's a lot of footprints in the snow. People use the trails. A lot of our communities that do have rail-to-trail conversions all plow the snow. I'm wondering why the commission does not.
That's a good one. We've just been starting to put them in. You know that. And we're going to plow the snow, too.
Well, let me remind you, this is a flood control and recreation project.
Oh, I'm totally aware of that, sir.
Well, I like to remind you every now and again.
Every month you do. Thank you. So, I don't know, Dan, what about that?
Currently, Hammond, we give Hammond a key. Hammond will plow. You will notice in the Northcott area, in Columbia Avenue, where the bollards were removed, they go down and plow it. Each community can do that. Jody and I don't have a plow, so we have asked if any community wants to do it.
We'll work on that, Eric, as far as coming up with a plan.
Yeah, I think I did see the tracks from Hammond plowing after the bigger snow. The area that was...
It's not going to be like the street. You understand that, right?
No, I understand that. But when you plow, then when it starts getting warmer, the snow melts quicker and people can get out there sooner and recreate. The one particular area is between Wicker Park in the north side of the Little Cal. There's bollards that the crews weren't able to get through.
Right. Thank you. It's a good one. Anybody else? They give me a hard time when I leave that open too long. So next meeting is going to be always the second Wednesday of the month, which will be the 13th. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Let's go. Thank you very much for coming out. Happy winter.